Next item on the agenda is reports from reclamation, and I understand that reclamation won't have anyone here. So we have certain reports. Do you have comments you want to make on that, Mr. Shaw?
And Chair, you already have the report. I mean, at least the information from the DOR regarding the changes and the information. As far as the MRTC is concerned, we're demanding the final CFS right now because of the heavy rain. OTP has cut some flood storage, about 2,000 feet at this time. Currently, there is no water being released from the Alvaro for our use. We are saving the water which we have in Alvaro right now. This may last maybe a few days, maybe 3-4 days. If it keeps raining, it will last longer. So we'll be saving about 1,500 feet per day, which we still use before. We are going to get back the summer chum of water, which we have allowed the city of Albuquerque and the doctors to use during season, so they're paying us back now. So we'll be getting another 13,300 feet of water. So we'll have our storage as well, about 150,000 feet. And that's about it we have right now. It's looking at the rain, and we're going to be really happy, I guess.
As long as you don't have any damage. So I guess we still kind of have that issue where they've got the, on their little bar chart, blue bar chart, where they've got the 55 CFS coming out of Abiquiu, that's 110 out of Cochiti, and I know we heard the explanation on that a lot, but that 110 CFS, see if I've got it right, is what they're diverting, and they're assuming it will come back in at the wastewater treatment plant half of that.
This is one of the questions we have. If they take 55 CFS more,
right,
if there are not enough return flows available at treatment plant, then they're suffering from it.
Okay. You have any questions on that that Sean might be able to answer? Good stand in for reclamation. Thank you.
Good evening, Madam Chair, and the directors, and the staff. I have something different to report for a change. We've had 13 negotiation meetings since July 14th of last year, and the BIA has made the decision to proceed with a contractor pending further negotiations for a new agreement. We announced that at our negotiation meeting last Tuesday, and there's a whole variety of issues that come up with that. And tomorrow we're planning on meeting, and I made a mistake in my report here. I said 9 o'clock in the morning, and it's 1:30 in the afternoon, so please correct that. That's 1:30 tomorrow afternoon here at the district to begin dealing with some of the issues that come up. Madam Chair, if you think it would be proper, I can mention some of the issues.
It's going to come,
On that first item, it says the BIA decision. Was there any input from the coalition?
Yes, we've been talking to the coalition about this since June. And I've tried to give them an objective view of some of the difficulties in my face going down this path. We had some great discussions about it.
When did you take it to the coalition?
In June. The coalition meets once a month with the governors and their staff. And so in the June meeting, I gave it to them as a written report, if I remember correctly.
When is that in June?
It could be the first Thursday in June, if I thereabouts. And then we met with them again, I believe it was July 3rd, and also discussed it more at length in that meeting, in the July 3rd meeting.
So sometime before the 1st of June, BIA made the decision to go forward with the contractor?
We did most of our, if I remember correctly, we did most of our market research in June. And we let the coalition know we were looking at that direction. And anyway, based on our market research, we decided in July that that's all we would like to do. And we wanted, you know, to run it by the coalition. No one said, no, don't do it. One coalition has expressed concern in terms of layoff of Native Americans in the Cochiti Division. And that's a real concern. And we flagged to them that that's a possibility if we go down this path. And so we tried to give a realistic picture of, you know, some of the things that can happen going down this path.
And personally, being on the team there, it would have been nice to know that you had made that decision so we could have avoided some of the meetings. Because it seems to me the decision was made by BIA, and it would have been nice to put the negotiations in abeyance until the coalition returned with an up or down, so we would know kind of where we were standing. Because at the last meeting, it was surprising.
Well, we could have backed out depending on what the district presented at the last meeting. If the district had presented something different, then, you know, we are not so far along this path we can't turn back.
But you indicated that the 683,000, whatever it was your absolute final offer. It was also your initial offer.
You said that the historical invoicing method, that's the basis of 7 years of payments between the BIA and the district, was our final offer.
I'm not sure I agree that it's a representation of 7 years, but those were discussions that were had in negotiations.
Okay, well, some of the issues that are going to come up is the idea of a contractor working in the district right of way. We'll probably need an interagency agreement to iron out some details with that. Emergency services, you know, what happens if we have a breach canal in the middle of the night, and who takes care of it? Delineation of PNP and newly reclaimed land work, lines of communication. Layoffs, a backed out plan. If the BIA decides if they go down this road and decide it's not working, we want to discuss.
Paying the cost price of the money, yeah?
What's that again? The price is going to go up. Anyway, that was something that was brought up last Tuesday, something that we need to discuss. And construction standards. Those are seven of the issues that came up last Tuesday. And we'll be discussing them tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's going to be done for $600,000. What's over there? What happened,
Mr. Beta? I can't say how much it's going to be done for. This is going out in, you know, I don't know how the potential bidders are. So,
but what happens to the rest of the money? How are you going to account for the rest of the money? Or whoever's in charge.
Okay. If the contractor comes in below our allocated amount, our annual allocation, we will work with Pueblos in terms of offering it to them under their 638 contracts for when the work. And so they, as long as it meets the criteria, you know, for that money, they can contract it.
So there'll be two contracts.
Well, the way we have an interagency agreement with the Bureau of Reclamation, and the Bureau of Reclamation has one of the contracts. So if Pueblo indicates they want to contract that money, we use the interagency agreement and move it to the existing 638 contracts with BOR. Now there's three Pueblos that are still working on those 638 contracts, but three Pueblos already have those 638 contracts in place.
Perspective, the board's always been most concerned with the constituents of the district, which are the farmers on the ground. And I think that this could be, I mean, I'm all for the contract a bit, but I think that it could be problematic for some of the farmers. It could be confusing when you have, you know, a contractor doing maintenance work and stuff, and the lines of communication, how that flows. And my interests are in the, and I think the board's interests are primarily going to be with the individual farmers and making sure that they're well served by it, because they're the constituents. And so I think that that's, we need to be on the record saying that that's our concern.
Madam Chair, I guarantee you that's my concern. And we're going to work our hardest to provide the best service we can to the farmer. That is my concern, without a doubt. And we're going to go after it with a zeal. If I was going to be here, I'd be really, put my whole heart into it. But if that brings up another subject we can get into here.
That's all I
have to
say.
Just for things you're going to talk about tomorrow, you said one of the issues, delineation of PNP versus newly reclaimed lands and allocations of responsibility.
That's correct.
So if you have a ditch that starts down by the river and that has some, winds down by the river where there's PNP land, then goes up above and takes advantage of the new works, and there's some newly reclaimed lands there, and then it swings back down, and I mean, how do you envision the district and the contractor dividing up the work on a ditch that affects both PNP and newly reclaimed land?
What I'm proposing, Chuck, is a proration based on acreage. So the NRL lands are 57% of Indian ag lands, and the prior and paramount lands are 43%. There's different ways to go about it. It can be done geographically, which becomes really challenging because of the example you just presented. Another way to do it is doing activity-based delineation, where approximately 43% of the cost of O&M would be the PNP work, and we would come up with activities that would amount to about 43% of the total cost. And then the VIU contractor would do the 57% and do it like an activity-based delineation.
I guess in the past, we've always finessed the question, what is newly reclaimed and what's PNP lands? Just said, let's use large percentages. But all the ditches vary in kind. Some require a tremendous amount of work. Some require very little work. Some of the PNP lands may require more because of the nature of where they're located and geography, probably they may require less. So it seems like it's going to be a sophisticated calculus to figure out how to do that, to make it fair. Because, you know, using percentages when it's the same entities is one thing. When you're trying to divide up and negotiate with a private contractor, and the private contractor says, wait a minute, I didn't promise to do that. My contract only covers this, and I'm done. You guys do it. I mean, that's going to be it. I think those negotiations, this is my, you know, and I'm for privatization, but I think those negotiations and the ultimate generation of a map to define what is PNP versus newly reclaimed, that'd be a sophisticated issue. Doesn't mean it can't be done, but I don't know if you think so, but I think it's sophisticated.
And tomorrow we'll start hashing that out and see if, you know, we can kind of come up with a game plan on how to do that. We would like to have this contractor on board by September 1st. So we're down 5 weeks to iron out that stuff.
Okay. Thank you. That's all right.
Director, thank you.
I guess one of my concerns, I'm always standing up for the employees. You're going to have a bunch of angry people in the country, angry at BIA.
Especially
where the economy is now.
Right.
And I'm going to be angry too.
Right.
If I see any of the people lay off.
Yeah.
Or their jobs terminated.
In the market research I've done, I've explained the situation to contractors. And let them know it's a big concern. And I've gotten a call from the attorney at some legal expressing that he's concerned. And so we are definitely looking at that.
So the contractor's going to hire those people? to do the same.
The contracting officer said, I cannot write into a contract. I cannot mandate a contract that he hires laid off employees of the district. So.
Or that he hires Pueblo members?
What's that?
Can he dictate that he hires Pueblo members?
I believe there's an Indian preference clause, but an Indian preference doesn't mean that it's an Indian that's been laid off. So in other words, can you have an Indian preference?
This is a separate question.
Yeah.
I think this point is not very well thought out, and we feel that your pricing with your contract may not be available to us either. So when we have to work 43% of the time on PNP land. So there are some issues which we have, and we need to work, and there may be concerns and questions coming from the individual farmers too, because they're not calling us anymore, they're calling you.
Mm-hmm. You're being on the road.
I just have one question. What if your appropriation doesn't come through? I know that's happened in the past. What's your contract going to say?
Well, these are the kinds of things that we'll have to talk about.
That's kind of a big one for the contract.
Right.
That's a great point, because historically the district floated it for 3 years with no payments.
The way the contract's been structured, it would be a 1 year contract with one option. One way of doing it is a 1 year contract with a 1 year option. Another way of doing it would be a 1 year contract with 4 1-year options. And as long as we know we have the funding for 1 year, that's all we're guaranteeing the contractor. And the other years are option years.
Yeah. This is just my opinion. We've had a system that's worked well for many years. Of course, you better know the flaws. It seems like we're walking into a big nightmare. That's my opinion.
Yeah, there's it's going to be a challenge, Director.
We don't need it. We don't need that challenge.
No, sure.
Director.
I suppose this can wait until tomorrow, but I just have to ask you since we're talking about the appropriation. So what you're saying is, when you guys have an appropriation, you're going to hire a contractor. And then when you don't have an appropriation, then the district's going to do it for nothing.
Well,
kind of what it sounds like.
That's what it sounds like. But all that happened, Director Sickler, is that the district would continue with their P&P obligations still, and the situation would be remedied. That's all you're required by law to do.
Director Lincoln.
Thank you. It's evident after months of negotiation meetings that even through all our hard work, we were still quite a bit ways off in terms of what we wanted to be paid. It was, what, 6 months?
Well, $1.8 million was what the district felt the BIA should pay.
Yeah.
The historical invoicing method generated $600,000. So there's between $1.8 million and $600,000.
And I'm going to say that it's unfortunate that it fell apart, but the fact is that I think we all worked really hard to try to understand each other and try to make things work. The Pueblos have been talking about getting a contractor for a long while already, so that's surprising that they're actually going to move on this now. It does seem a little bit rushed, but the Pueblos have spoken, and I think we, as a board, need to understand that the Pueblos, that's what they want to do. It's their prerogative, right? But I also want to make sure that we, as the Conservancy District, don't neglect our services to them until the new contractor is brought on board.
And Director Beta, coming back to you for a second, I wouldn't sit down this road if I didn't think that we could provide as good a service using this method as what the Pueblos have received, if not even better. I wouldn't do it. I don't want to create unnecessary problems for the Pueblos. I think that the Pueblos, my goal is the Pueblos receive as good a service as they have received, if not better. And we think we can do that. And we think we can create a responsive situation where the contractor is responsive to Pueblos' concerns. And if we didn't think we could do that, I guarantee you, I wouldn't go down this road.
It will be an interesting exercise, And we may learn a lot. I'm sure we will learn a lot.
There will be a lot of spectators. And so it's, you know, we'll sit down and try it. Now, the next thing on my report is the fact that I've accepted a job with Bureau of Reclamation. And so it sounds like I'm turning this big ship in a certain direction and then I'm jumping ship. But one thing I want to clarify is I talked to my boss before we submitted the paper to procurement. I said, look, you need to be aware I'm applying for another job. And so I don't know if I'll get it or not, but you need to be aware of that if you want to change the direction of this. And so it wasn't like I sprung this on everybody after we made this decision. I gave a heads up to my boss before this decision was made. And at the time, I didn't know if I'd get the job or not, but I happened to get it. And so my last day here will be August the 12th. And the person that will be acting in my place will be Holly O'Grady. And she'll be acting until either they get a new DE or after, 90 days? And then after 90 days, someone else will begin acting. So that's the plan there.
Anyone have any questions? Any questions for Randy? Mr. Shaw.
Madam Chair, I mean, just for information, when we're negotiating, that was the first thing we said, what amount when we thought when we were willing to negotiate for the amount of how much it would cost.
Right, what you're trying to say is that 1.8 was a starting number, it was not a final number.
Right. It's not like chicken pie.
It was clear. There was a difference in the way the two numbers were presented. Yeah, I think that's clear on the record. Anyone else have anything?
Sure.
Yeah, Director Sidney.
I'd just like to say that I think we've had some pretty heated exchanges, but personally, I like you really well, Randy, and I wish you good luck. So.
Thank you, Director Sidney. I appreciate that. It's a tough situation. In our role, it creates tension, but I think when we're not in this setting, I enjoy every one of it. I enjoy SUPAs, every one of it in a personal setting. It's just by the nature of our jobs, there's going to be some tension. So I appreciate God's patience with me.
I think everyone's tried to handle it. I mean, when things get tense, but we've always managed to be professional in the end, and nobody's taken it personally, I don't think. So I think that's a credit to you, and I'm sure you'll do excellent in your new job, just as you have here.
And Director Jared, or Chairwoman Jared, I lost my cool at you in one of the negotiation meetings, and for that I was really sorry. And so I wanted to say it again publicly because my behavior wasn't proper. And so anyway, I appreciate you've already told me we're okay with that. So thank you.
Everybody does that. Everyone's in a while. It's all right. It's all good. But thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Randy.